Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
How many of you know our theme this year? It is His Story, amen. History, if you want to put it like that, amen, but specifically, the history that we are referring to is His story. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 13. I'm going to read from verse number 18, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, NLT. NLT. I'm just going to read verse number 18. And verse number 19. Amen. Then Jesus said to them, I will tell you a story. Say a story. I will tell you a story about the kingdom of God and what is it like. It is like a very small seed of the plant called mustard. A man took the seed and he planted it in his garden. The seed grew and it became a tree. It was so big that birds came and made their nests among its branches. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you may speak to us this morning. Our hearts are opened, O God. Bless us indeed, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dave Keppen, in a newsletter article titled Inc.Africa, says the following words. Everyone loves a good story. He says, storytelling is a critical but often overlooked skill. In this regard, he says that every business owner should have. In other words, you are simply saying, if you are in any form of business, you must be a good storyteller. You must have a story. If you study that article, they even talk about how people are not necessarily interested in your product, but they are more interested in the story behind your product. And as the children of God, as the church, Bazolane, we are just like our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the business of the kingdom of God. When Jesus was with his parents at the age of 12, he disappears. They start looking for him. And after a couple of days, they find him. And they are shouting at him. And Jesus turns and says to them, why were you even looking for me? Because don't you know that I am about my Father's business? So Jesus understood that his assignment was more like kingdom business. And that's why he had to take it very seriously. And I believe that even as the church, even as abantwana bakaNkulunkulu, we should possess the same mindset to understand that God has called us. He has invited us and he has given us the responsibility to be engaged in the business of his kingdom. And especially in the time we are living in, there is an agency in the spirit. We have got to take this business serious and make sure that we engage in it so that we can bring about the desired results. Are we together, Bazalwan? We are in the business of telling the greatest story that can ever be told. And this story is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, it means you and I, as those who are engaged in this business of telling this beautiful story, there is a need, therefore, for us to develop this skill that they are talking about of being good storytellers. It is, again, Philip Pullman who said, after nourishment, shelter, and companionship, stories are the thing we need the most in the world. Stories are the thing we need most in the world. As we live our lives, as we continue on our different paths, we owe each other stories. I need to hear your story as much as you need to hear my story. This is a principle that I wish after we walk out of this Passover experience, we can walk out with it to a point of knowing that there is no shame in telling your story. You owe somebody a story of your life as much as they owe you a story of their lives. Stories, Bazalwane, are accounts of imaginary or real people and events told for either entertainment or valuable lessons. I'm going to say it one more time. Stories are accounts of imaginary people or events. And I mean, I'm sure we can attest to the fact that we grew up watching television, right? And television is nothing but an industry of good storytellers. And most of these storytellers did so well to come up with an imaginary world, imaginary events. I mean, we grew up knowing people without knowing them. We grew up knowing people who do not even exist. That is how powerful their skill or their ability to tell stories is. How many of you believe that Karabo Moroka exists? You grew up and you have this character in your mind that there is an individual called Karabo Moroka. And how many of us, and there are many people, I'm sure you've read stories of how even when people meet these characters, the real people who are acting the characters, they will treat them like the characters. They will confront them about the things that they are doing in their character on television. And that's how strong their ability to tell stories is. Because they are believable stories even though they are not real. But stories are not just only for entertainment purposes. But stories are told so that you and I can learn valuable lessons. But take note, Bazalwane, stories, I must emphasize, are not just about imaginary people and events, but they are also about real people and events. And therefore, it is very important for us that whenever we are listening to a story or we are watching a story on TV, I mean, sikhule sithi sayobukela story. Amen. That we don't only focus on just the entertainment side of it, but we must also look for a lesson that we can learn from that story. I mean, there are beautiful movies that in as much as they are, you know, imaginary events or so, but they have got good lessons that they are teaching. But it takes somebody who is intentional, who is going to watch that particular story, watch that particular movie with the desire to learn from it. Are we here, Bazalwane? It is also said that we learn from history, that people don't learn from history. That there are stories that will just pass us by. They will be told to us. We will hear them, but we will never get to a point where we are going to get the lesson from a story. Many people tell their stories, and I mean, these days I'm fascinated by a particular channel on YouTube of how ex-offenders, as they call them, we don't call them ex-prisoners, right? We call them ex-offenders. How they share their stories, how they share, you know, how they got involved in a life of crime, what kind of crimes did they commit, how they were arrested, how they served time in prison, and how they came out of prison. I mean, there's this particular individual that I'm fascinated with called Tra. If you don't know Tra, I don't know how to help you. Tra is such a good storyteller, Bazalwane. In such a way that even though I believe that he was a criminal, I believe that he did most of those things that he did, but he knows how to spice up his story so that it can be believable. I mean, there are certain things that he talks about, that when he was stealing a car and he was driving, he would open a door and throw down his poti sake and it will come back and he will grab it and close the door. I'm like, Tra, I know you stole that car, but the sporty aspect of it, I don't believe it. He is spicing it, but he is catching many people. Many people are fascinated by this story but the problem is that we can make a mistake of just focusing on the entertaining part of that story and miss the point that he is now actually no longer that person. He is a transformed individual. And Kathete, the reason why he is telling his story, it is so that we can learn from it and avoid the mistakes that he has committed in his life. Many people who are aspiring to be criminals, they are listening to these stories to avoid the mistakes they can commit in committing crime. Probably they are saying, oh, at least I know how he was arrested. I will make sure that I don't do that. So that, let me tell you, a few years down the line, you will be telling another story of a different kind of mistake that Tra did not even commit, maybe. So we have got to have discernment, because there are certain things that will happen to certain people so that they can leave behind lessons for us to learn from. Romans chapter number 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So there are certain things, as a matter of fact, even the Bible that we are reading, it is a book of stories. Amen. The Bible that was written, it is just a book of stories of how different people did different things in the past. They are just simply sharing their own experiences of how they walked with God, how they saw the hand of God, how they experienced their salvation, their own breakthroughs. But take note, the Bible says it was for our learning. So sometimes we can just read the Bible and be fascinated by it and just take it as a book of stories, nothing more and nothing less. But yet God's intention was to leave behind different accounts of different people, how they walked with God and how they experienced God in their lives, just so that when we get to know those stories or those people through those stories, we can learn from their experiences. We can have principles that we can share. It can be a shame, Bazalwane, for us to just look at the Bible and treat it just as a book of history or historical events that took place. And just read it as a book that fascinates us, because it was never God's intention. And here's the thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ sounds like a good story. Because when we are talking about the gospel, we are simply talking about the good news. It's a story we are telling. It's a story we are sharing. But the mistake that many people do is to think that it is just simply a good story that we find in this book called the Bible, and we are just reading it just for motivation, encouragement, and then that's it. There's nothing more to it. But this is a story of a true and a real event that took place more than 2,000 years ago. Sometimes people do share their stories. I mean, there are many stories. Gukona, the stories that we were reading or we were studying, you know, the apartheid education was just rude. It was just, I mean, And I'm asking myself today, what was the purpose of that? Kwasugela sugela. Kwawukona. Ugogo gobene. Kwasugela sugela kwawukona. Angazi izimzim kwawukona. Like different. I'm not sure if are they still teaching that today? You are blessed. Do we even have in English? It's a story. Namara stations. At least that's how we used to say it, rustation. How many of you know what's the correct word for rustation? Recitation. Go back and ask for your school fees. Rustation, Baba. Izul, let you malia papamba matot. Link angula imit, let you malia shoshose. Kubande, pants, kubande. My goodness. Man bazalwan. No, man. No, man. But anyway, so we used to be told those stories to a point that each time we hear a story, we don't really see it as a real event. We look at it as a story, and that's why, Bazalwane, even when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, many people think it is just simply a story. It is a story that is being told, and it is not a story of real and true event. But this weekend, we are just here to remind us, especially as Amakholwa, and even if you are not a believer yet, but we are here to tell you that this is the story of a real event that took place. Jesus truly died. This is not fiction. Jesus truly rose from the dead. This is not just a story of a figure, an imaginary figure that somebody came up with. Even if as we are reading about Goliath and all of those people, those are real stories that took place. When the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that is a real account of what took place when the earth was created. It's not just an imaginary story. It's not just something that somebody came up with. I mean, they are storytellers. Through their production company, Tapia Media, they are storytellers. They know how to come up with a story and create characters and present it as a real event. And as we watch, we are absorbed into the screens. Many of us begin to live in that world. And many of us were influenced by the stories we were watching. Our mindsets were formed by the stories we were watching. Many of us, that's why our marriages, we want them to be like the Bold and the Beautiful. You are now seeing yourself as rich, as a husband, and you are seeing your wife as Brooke. And we forget that that is scripted. They say everything that they are told. They do everything that they are told. But how many of you believe that they are real life stories? Amen. So the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the story of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Not an imaginary story, but a true story, a real story of something that took place. So even as we gather today to celebrate a Passover, we are not just celebrating a story, but we are celebrating a true event that somebody truly died on the cross. As a matter of fact, there are many accounts of proofs that have been discovered. Of the fact that truly Jesus died the kind of death that the Bible says he died. I'm fascinated. I'm not sure. I think I told you about this movie, the Case for Christ. It's one such movie that shows proof of how Jesus died. And it's about this person who wanted to prove the Bible wrong, who wanted to prove that the things that the Bible says about Jesus, how it is not scientifically possible. And he consulted people who are not even Christians. And they told him that even though we are not Christians, but we can confirm that the facts of the Bible are true. Amen. There's evidence. So our faith, Bazolani, must not be built on the foundation of an imaginary story. Because it can be possible that even though you are a Christian today, even though you are coming to church every Sunday, even though you are praying, even though you are doing everything that Christians are supposed to be doing, but this story of Jesus Christ, it is still an imaginary story in your head. Whenever we reflect, we don't see it as something that truly happened. Let me share this story with you. This is a true story. I'm reminded of another pastor who always shares stories, and he always says, all my stories are true unless I tell you otherwise. I remember one day we were praying, and I'm actually going to tie this up soon. Why? Because I'm sure you will also notice that when I preach, I tell a lot of stories, right? So I remember this one day, as I was not a pastor yet, but I knew I was called by God. We used to gather together with other two friends of mine. We used to pray together. You know, we used to just have encounters, countless encounters in the presence of God. We used to share books together. And one day we were praying. We were in a home. I remember we were in an RDP house at Duduza. And I said, at Duduza. We were praying, and as we were praying, I then asked Jesus. I said, I want to have a moment of experiencing how it was like when you were crucified. Not in terms of feeling the pain that he felt. I knew I was going to die, but just... but just to be in that space that I want to have a genuine and a sincere feeling of, if I was there watching you being crucified, how I was going to process it. Because I wanted it to be a real experience. I mean, I used to make these challenges with God, with many. Like the other one I told you about, where I was alone in the room. I said, God, I want to see you. Well, try it, but all the best. And immediately, so as I was praying, my friends were also listening to my prayer. They were also listening to my prayer. So as I was praying, all of a sudden the atmosphere shifted, Bazalan. The atmosphere changed and we started weeping. I remember vividly, I can still hear the sound of my friend's voice. And he was blaming me as we were experiencing this moment. He was saying, oh, Jacob. But we were weeping because the moment was so real. It was so intense. And immediately when we walked out of there, I knew that Jesus truly died on the cross. And I walked out with that sincere feeling. Because, you know, sometimes, don't you cry when you are watching a movie? Yeah. It's not real, but you cry. Hello. So good to see. This is an old friend of mine. Sizakele Nkosiyami. I didn't see you. Good to see you. Amen. Oh, Jesus. So when you watch a movie, that's why I always tell my wife, when we are watching a movie, I want action. I want people to die. I don't want to be emotionally attached to this thing. I know what they are fighting for. They said this one stole that, and that's why this one is chasing this one and whatever. Let's just get it over. But there are those deep movies. And my wife enjoys those movies, like those deep, they absorb you, they take you, they don't miss it. He's living. But take note, it's not a real story. But it took you in. So can it be possible that as Christians, We can listen to this story, believe in this story, and even if it's not really real, and the emotions we are experiencing and the cries and the commitments and but are just simply based on a fictional story in our head. May God this weekend show us that this is not just a story that was told, but this is an event that took place, that even if it is shared as a story, and this is my prayer, Bazalwane, that God will anoint us even the more, that even as we are standing and we are sharing this story with others, even when we are sharing this story with our friends, with our colleagues, with our neighbors, that it is going to be as real as it took place more than 2,000 years ago. But the fact that this story is still alive even today, it shows how powerful this story is. Remember, they tried to bury this story. They tried to make sure that they sabotage this story. But this story is still told to this day. Stories are very significant, Bazalwane. They are very significant. Take note. Take note. In Psalm chapter number 78 from verse number 1, oh, my people, listen to my instructions, it says. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you, he says, in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. I will teach you what? Hidden lessons. In other words, in all of our life's journeys, in all of our past experiences, there are hidden life lessons there. That's why we must tell our stories so that those who can hear can be able to pick up the life lessons. In verse number 3, it says, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell their next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. If there is something that we are owing the next generation, Bazalwane, it is to tell them the stories of what is it that God has done for us. In other words, as God blesses us, as God gives us a breakthrough, as God saves us, we need to put it on record so that we can pass it on to the next generation and so that they can pass it on to the next generation. That's why we must be grateful for the Bible, Bazalwane, that if it was not written, if it was not recorded, you and I wouldn't have known that there was a David who killed Goliath. You and I wouldn't have known that there was a Moses who parted the Red Sea. You and I wouldn't have known that there was an Elijah who raised a child from the dead. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the ability to tell your own story. That's why if there are significant things that are happening in your life, write them down. Write them down. Note them down. Note them down. Because there's power in sharing your story. And verse 5 says, for he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. Verse 7, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. So God is simply saying to us, there are miracles I will perform in your day, but you must not keep them to yourself. You owe it to the next generation to share your story, to share your story to the next generation and tell them that this God that we are handing down to you, this is the God we saw taking us out of such and such situations. So that the Bible says, so each generation should set its hope anew on God. So that God does not become a theory. Bazalwane, you know what makes tradition and culture powerful? It is simply because of this principle. They are able to sit us down and tell us, bantwana bam, kunje, 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 and we take it from them and pass it on to the next generation. Can you imagine what can happen if we can do the same with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the words of Timothy when he was, of Paul when he was talking to Timothy. He says, I can see this faith in you, which was first in your grandmother, and then it was in your mother, and I can see it. So in other words, God is a generational God. But for him to become a generational God, he is looking for a generation that is going to have the ability to share their own personal experiences with God. Within the guidelines of scripture. Because that's the difference really between human-made tradition and Christianity. Is that tradition is just people telling their experiences, but not within the confines of scripture. But with us, with the gospel, it's just sharing our personal walk with God within the confines of scripture. So we must develop the ability to tell stories. We see this even in the example of Jesus Christ as I prepare to close. Jesus Christ himself was a storyteller of note. He used stories in a form of parables to teach important principles about the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, every lesson that he was teaching, it was accompanied by a story. And he used to tell stories that people would relate with. He made examples of the day. He used farming as an example because he understood his audience. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse 3, it says he told many stories in a form of parables. In verse 34, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using parables, it says. This fulfilled what God has spoken through the prophet. In Mark chapter number 4, verse 2, he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables. When I was going through this, it all of a sudden made a lot of sense. It gave meaning to me in many different things that I used to observe that many old preachers, the more they grow, the more they tell stories. Amen. That's why I used to enjoy the ministry of my late spiritual father so much. Because when he was preaching, he would tell stories. Story after story. Amen. And he will draw biblical principles from his life stories. And as we are listening, and we will be laughing because we can relate with what he's saying. We would be laughing, we would be entertained. And while laughing, he will throw in a principle. He will draw out a principle and tell us, and this is the example of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can it be, Barcelona, some of us, we are maybe saying to ourselves, I cannot be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else because you think you must be a theologian first. How about you tell a story of how you met Jesus Christ? How he changed your life? How you just attended a church service and this is the sermon I heard and this is what happened in my heart. This is how I responded and this is how I started following. That is the power of the message of Jesus Christ. It is all about sharing the good news with someone else. And if we can do that from one generation to the next, we can be able to. You don't have to sit with your colleague at work and say, you know, the Bible says, you know, we have sinned and fallen short of the, and no. How about you talk about you as that sinner? Say, I was a sinner and I did not even realize it. But one day I was invited to church, and when I heard the word of God being preached, I realized how much of a sinner I was. And I was convicted by the Holy Spirit in my heart that I needed to repent. And I said that prayer that they said I must say. And afterwards, I felt change in my life. Let me tell you, no one can dispute your personal experience. Because it was personal. It is your own experience. You were there. You were there. You were that character in the story. You are not talking about another character. You were that character. character in the story. You were there. You felt the emotions. You felt the pain. You felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you can be the only person who can share it out of conviction. We must be good storytellers. But take note, Gebazalwan, that even as Jesus was telling all sorts of these stories, he always had a hidden lesson in it. Because all of these stories were actually his story. He was talking to them about himself. So the story that he says in the book of Luke chapter number 13, where we read, where Jesus all of a sudden says, let me tell you this story. At that moment, it looks like a story. It feels like a story. But he leaves them a story that at some point it has got to make sense. He leaves a story behind so that even Nati, as the New Testament believers, when we now have the whole story, we realize that no, all of these stories were actually his story. He says, let me tell you a story about how the kingdom of God is like. He says, it is like a man who took a seed and planted it in the ground. And all of a sudden, I'm sure as they were listening, they were just looking at a farmer in the field who was planting. But all along, Jesus is talking about himself. That's why in the book of Luke chapter number 8, it says, listen to the word of God. It says, the seed is the word of God. So in other words, the seed that he was talking about, it was not just an ordinary seed. It was not a natural seed. But he was talking about the seed which is the word of God. Unto John in chapter number 1, in the beginning there was the word, and the word was with God. And he says, and the word became flesh. So that seed, not only is it the word, but it is the word that became flesh. That seed is Jesus Christ himself. So when he says this seed, when he says the kingdom of God is like the man who planted the seed, he was simply talking about his Father in heaven who took him as the seed and he planted him on the ground, Bazalwan. That's why in another place he says, unless this seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But he says, when it is planted, it multiplies. This was his story. He was not just talking about a story about another farmer. It was his story. It was his story about his Father who decided that this world is cursed, that this world, there were things that got messed up in the Garden of Eden, and therefore I need another seed. I need another seed that I am going to plant, because the tree that was in the Garden of Eden caused chaos in this world. But I need another seed that I can plant, and that seed must come and fall down to the ground and die. Hallelujah. So that when it grows, it will increase, it will spread out, it will multiply. And that's why even today, this seed and this tree, it is still growing. The parable that Jesus shared with them, he said, this seed, when it was planted, it was like a small seed that was planted. But he says it grew, it increased in such a way that the birds of the air came and built their nests in that tree. Usbona sinje, we are those birds who are just wandering around, who are lost, not having a place where we can build our nests. But this tree of the kingdom of God kept on growing. Why? Because there are people who are continuing to preach this seed, to preach this word, to preach this Jesus all over the world. The tree is still growing. And it can never be stopped. And many are still going to come and build their nests in this tree. Many are still going to come from the east and from the west and build their nest in this tree. You and I, we have been given that power, that authority of going out to tell this powerful story and tell our neighbors that I was once a bird that was just flying around. I did not have a place where I could build my nest. But there was a day when I heard of a story. There was a day when I heard of a man who died on the cross, who just not only died, but who died for my sins. And after I repented, I found a place where I could build a nest. And it is that seed, Masalan, through which we are saved. The Bible says we are not born again through the corruptible seed, but we are born again through the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Let me tell you, Bazana, the power of our salvation lies in just believing in this story. That when I hear the story of Jesus Christ, I am just simply going to believe in it. That's why you and I are sitting here this morning. We once heard this story. And even if you have never heard this story before, and maybe you've heard it before and you did not believe in it, today God brought you to this place so that you can hear about this story, so that you can hear that this Jesus that we are preaching is not just a fictional figure. This Jesus that we are preaching, he is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He was sent on an assignment so that you and I can believe in him.
Amen.
If we could believe in generations, the bold and the beautiful, isitingo, generations, and all of those things, and believed in those stories. Here is a story. The greater story, the ultimate story, based on true events. Here is a story that you can believe in. Here is a story that you can believe in and be saved. Here is a story that you can believe in and be transformed. Here is a story that you can believe in and begin to be changed in your life in a manner that there is no any other story that can change you. Have you ever heard of such power in a story? There's power in the story that we are sharing. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are the custodians of this story. But remember, I said, you are in that equation. Tell somebody about how you've heard of a man. Do it like Jesus. He says to them, let me tell you a story about the kingdom of God. How about you go to your everybody? Remember, we said everybody loves a good story. Everybody loves a good story. Si abantu sithanda izindaba. Can you imagine arriving on Monday and say to your colleague, can I tell you a story? You will see them saying, izanazo chumi. Kwenzinja. And tell them, hey, over the weekend, I went to church. Develop the skill of being a good storyteller. You are born utra, usenza sikholwe ukuthi utra ungahamba ngemoto, udrive ngazi 100 and bani kilometers per hour, uvula umnyango wisi sport usibambe. Siyayikholwa leyo nto because tra is a good storyteller. I'm challenging us as Christians, go and practice. How am I going to share my story? Write your own script and say, when I get an opportunity to tell my story, here's how I'm going to write it. And here's how, I mean, Jesus Christ did it simple, Bazalan. Yo, 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 yo. And he was talking to people who were farmers who understood that language. So when he was talking seed, he was looking for something that he can use to tell his story, but using the things that they are experiencing each and every day. So in other words, if I'm in the IT space, I need to find a language I can use to share Christ with my IT colleagues and tell them, hey, I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm going to find an app. I'm going to have any app in it. Hey, I'm going to have an iPad. I'm going to have but I'm going to activate iCloud account. Access your download my app. So does Jesus in my life. Jesus came and he became that activation, and I could get access to the heavenly store to download the applications that help me to function as a human being. Find your story. Find your story. Find your story and put Jesus in the equation. and share that story with someone else. Man, I love how Jesus did it. Let me tell you a story about the kingdom of God. So in other words, even if you are not interested in the kingdom of God, but you are interested in the good story. Because it's my story. All that I'm doing, I'm sharing my story, my experience. Let's stand on our feet as I close. I want us to pray for ourselves. I'm challenging Christians this time around. Challenging us as Christians. I'm saying it's about time that we open up our mouths. Maybe you were thinking you must be a good preacher, an anointed preacher who knows a lot of theology. But here's an answer today. There's a story you can tell. I want us to lift up our hands and I want us to pray and ask God, God, just inspire me by your spirit. Give me a story. Write it in my heart. Just show it to me. Help me to write my own script that I can use to spread the news about Jesus Christ. Come on, let's just take a moment and begin to pray right now. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that our tongues will become like a pen of a ready writer, oh God. We thank you that, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will open up our eyes and show us moments and remind us of encounters that we've had with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, encounters we've had with your power. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, that we shall be able, oh Father, to tell a story, incorporating all of those encounters, oh God, sharing our experiences, our journeys, oh God, our walk, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Father, as your people. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh Father, that, oh Master, you will anoint us. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh Father, as we tell, mighty God, the stories, oh Father, of miracles, glorious encounters we've had with you, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God, to the glory of your name, oh Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, anoint our lips, oh Father. Anoint us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. May we go out as an army. May we go out, almighty God, as those, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who are ready to tell their story, oh Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Father, we bless your name. We worship you, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh Father. Rekadoske, Zeti Kalo Brato Zejo, Zelebrates Kanjo Zedeber Komambre, Zembraketalo Vrande Zenje Zide Kelpano, Zedebeletere Debe Sobraketaro Dela, Zole Vrambetaso Jezedebea. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God. We thank you, O God.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.